Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're studying all the parables of the Bible, and this is message number 152. And we're in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. And in all the parables of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer, we're on page 317 and 18. We studied the wonderful third chapter of the Gospel of John, and hopefully we revealed some very unfamiliar truths in a very familiar passage. And now we go to another very, very familiar passage that has very unfamiliar truths in it. Eternal life is sought over by every race of people that's ever existed, except for Buddhists. They want to go into annihilation. But we do have eternal life, either in hell to be, or in heaven. Now, we have a very familiar verse here in John, the fourth chapter, with Jesus speaking to a very, very sinful woman. Verse number 4. And when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and though Jesus himself baptized no one, but his church did. The church was doing the baptizing. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Judea is up there, real by Jerusalem. Galilee is down to the Sea of Galilee. And verse number 4, it says something here that's very beautiful. It says it was bindingly necessary for him to pass through Samaria. Now, in God's eternal ages in the past, when only God was there, like in John 1 and 1, in Archaeo Logos, when God himself alone existed, he thought about you and me and this Samaritan woman right here. And it was bindingly necessary for him to pass through the Samaria. And it says, therefore, he came unto the city of Samaria, being called Sychar, near the piece of land which Jacob gave to Joseph, the son of him. And it was there that there was a spring, a pige, a great flowing well of Jacob. Now, I've been in Jacob's well. I have been there. I have had a drink of water out of Jacob's well. And therefore, Jesus, having come, he was wearied because of the journey, and he sat in this fashion upon the spring, the fountain, the pige. Now, this is not a cistern, a thyer, but it is a spring. And now, he is sitting there, wearied and thirsty. And he sat in this manner upon the fountain. And it was the sixth hour. About the sixth hour. It was about noon. And he's tired and he's hungry. And he's thirsty. And then in verse number 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. Now, this woman, no one would have anything to do with. She was quite a lover girl. she'd had several husbands and was not faithful to any of them, actually. And now she is living, or another man is living and supporting her that is not her husband, somebody else's. And this is a woman of dark character. Now Jesus saved a lot of people of dark from the dark side of the world. All of his disciples have gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, she's totally puzzled. Number one, why did Jesus even talk to me? Why did this man, this Jew, even talk to me? First of all, it says in the Mishnah and the Talmud that a man can't even speak to his wife in public, let alone somebody like me. A promiscuous, wayward woman. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink of water, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now the Samaritans had been carried off into the Assyrian captivity, and they came back and they were so-called half-breeds. But they only studied the five books of Moses. And they made sacrifices out there on Mount Gerizim. And this woman now is going to ask Jesus, this master rabbi, some religious questions. And Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. Living water is running water. Living water is running water. When they had sacrifices, they used running water, rivers, because the water every so many feet is totally purified, running over rocks and gravel. And that's what you call living water. Now, the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness was Jesus. Jesus was that rock, and that was living water, a spring of living water coming out of it. And then she says, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water, this running water? And verse 12, you are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? This is an old well, fellow. Are you greater than Jacob? And then verse number 13, Jesus says to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall become thirsty again. I can assure you of that because I drank of that water and I was thirsty again. Not too long later. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give to him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. In this verse number 14. Look at that. Verse number 14. And whoever may drink out of the water which I give to him, out of the water which I give to him, no, not shall thirst forever, for eternity, but the water which I will give to him, it shall become in him a spring, a fountain, a running stream of water springing unto life eternal. Constantly springing unto life eternal. And a woman said to him, sir, master, Lord. Look at that. Verse number 15. And she says to him, the woman, Kyrie. Kyrie. That's the word kyrios. In the Old Testament, that word, in the Septuagint, is the word for Jehovah. He says, "Sir, give this water to me, that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw." And he said to her, "Call your husband and come here." He knew her heart. "Call your husband and come here." And Jesus, when he points out to us, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, we start understanding that we are sinners. And we understand our sins. Whether you ever confess your sins, your private world where it's in your soul, the sins that are in your soul, to anyone in this world, God knows them already. "Call your husband and come here." And the woman said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one with whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." And then the woman said to him, "Master, Lord, I perceive that you are a prophet." The prophet. The prophet. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." Now, she says, "Now, since I know you've got the answers to eternal life, am I been right all of this time? We're worshipping up in this mountain, Mount Gerizim. And you people say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. But you shall worship that which you do not know, and we worship that which we know. You do worship that which you don't know." In other words, you people have gone astray. Miss Samaritan maid, you and your people have gone astray. You do not know what you worship, and what we know what we worship. And the salvation is from the Jews. Salvation, eternal life, is from the Jew. He was a Jew. He was the one Jewish man that could give all of us eternal salvation, because he was a son of woman. "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such a people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." Here we have the Spirit, we have the water, we have a parable of water that Jesus is using. He was thirsty, she was thirsty. She came to draw water, and he was there, and he had nothing to draw water with. And he tells her, "Please give me a drink." And she says, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You should not even be speaking to me." Now Jesus is making her feel like she's a real human being. No one gave her any respect at all. Not even the man that maybe she was loving, or her husband, a castaway. But Jesus is making her important. He's making her feel loved by the God of heaven. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him spirit and truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he shall declare all things to us." Now, they got that from the book of Moses. They got it from the Pentateuch. Now, in verse number 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the Messiah. I have come to save you. I am who speak to you. Am Messiah." And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman. This is against the Mishnah and the Talmud. You've broken all the rules. Speaking with a woman. Yet no one was brave enough to castigate him because of it. By this law, that not speaking to a woman in public, not even your own wife, it didn't come from the Word of God. It came from the traditions of the fathers. He said, "What do you seek?" Or why do you speak with her? Are you messing around with this woman, Jesus? What are you doing talking to this woman? And so the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come and see a man who told me all things that I have done. This is the Christ. This is the Christ. Is not this the Christ? The one that shall come?" Now the whole city goes out. All these men, they go out and they're going to see who has spoken to this woman. That is a Jewish person, and that he is the Jewish Messiah that is going to come. And they went out of the city and were coming to him. In the meanwhile, the disciples were requesting him to eat. "Rabbi, eat, eat, eat. You must be starving. Eat, eat, eat." And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you did not know about." The disciples therefore saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did they?" Verse number 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest." There are people all over that need to hear the truth, that need to hear the real Messiah of God, that need to have eternal life. "Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for the life eternal, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. The man that sows the seed in the ground and the man that reaps shall rejoice together." This woman had gone into the town. Now she's going in there and she's taking with her that eternal water. That water that shall spring up in each and every one of them, because it has sprung up into her soul, and she is hungry and thirsty to tell others of what she has found. When you're saved, when you really know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a hunger for other souls to be saved. "For in this case, the saying is true, one who sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you had not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all things that I had done.' And when the Samaritans came to him, they were asking him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days with these malcontents, 2 days with these heathens, that he stayed there with them to preach unto them the words of eternal life. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" The Savior of the world. By the way, that's what they called Joseph. The Savior of the world. That's what his title was in Egypt. The Savior of the world. "And after 2 days, he went forth from there into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they themselves also went to the feast. And he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee," and boy, I tell you what, they probably heard the story about the Samaritans too. "He went to him and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus therefore said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe.' And a royal officer said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your son lives.' And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. And he inquired of them what hour that he began to get better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household. And this again, a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. Help others out there be like that Samaritan woman if they're sinners and they need to be saved. Jesus will love them. Father, I pray that you send your Spirit, that you might give them eternal life and the comfort of that Spirit to understand that once we're saved, we're not our own any longer, but we're yours. Help us to be willing vessels, even though we're cracked pots and fragile vessels. May we be willing vessels to carry that living water to all those that will hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.